This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hi there, Joysters. This is Jim, and you're on There's Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and we've just been listening to her voice, yet another good program. Thanks, girls up there. I was going to say thanks, guys, but that was a bit rude, wasn't it? Anyway, I'm here in the studio tonight with James, who's pushing buttons.
I am.
And Claire, who's sitting there smiling.
Hello.
And we've got some guests in the studio tonight, and over the course of tonight, we're going to be calling our regular HIV expert, Clovis Palmer from the Burnett Institute, because he's got some news for us. Mm-hmm. So he'll be listening now, and he'll be expecting a phone call at any moment from us, and then you'll hear him on air, because he's going to be talking to us about a couple of things. One, he's just been promoted to head up a lab at the Burnett, and also he might actually give us a bit of a rundown about his highlights of the ASHAM conference. And then we've also got in the studio Dr. Vincent Cornelis, who is a Melbourne GP who's been working for LGBTI health and especially HIV for some time. And a lot of you will have seen him around the community working on various projects at times. I've seen him around the traps, I have to say. And he is going to be talking about some of his special projects that he's been working on, particularly PEP and PrEP, and some of the highlights of the recent ASHAM conference. So going to explain what ASHAM conference means, mm-hmm. instead of me jargoning on here. The Australian Sexual Health Medicine Conference, I think is what it was.
Almost.
Sexual Health and HIV Medicine
Australasian Conference. Society for HIV Medicine.
Oh, something like that.
Pretty close. Yeah. Close enough.
Anyway, Lavinia, bad luck, I got it wrong.
We don't know what upset the lovely people at ASHAM.
But the lovely Lavinia won't be listening, so it won't matter unless she listens to it on podcast. But anyway, she owes me, so that's okay. And I won't go into that story just yet.
Call in the favour.
And then after that, right at the tail end of tonight, we're going to talk to Ian Muchmore, who's the president of Living Positive Victoria, and he is going to tell us about the LPV, which I'm not allowed to say that either, but I'm going to, the LPV Community Awards, because you know it's Community Awards time season at the moment. The Brownlows and the Dally M's are on tonight. And Ian is going to give us a bit of a rundown about what frocks people are allowed and not allowed to wear to the Living Positive Victoria Awards night, no doubt. So that's what we're going to be doing. So, Vincent.
Yes, Jim.
Can you tell us about your favourite projects?
My favourite projects? Well, I've got a few, but I think at the moment a lot of my time is spent on PrEP. I presume that your listeners know a little bit about PrEP. But
we've spoken about it a lot of times on here. We've had whole programs on PrEP.
But we can always hear some more.
Well, exactly.
It means pre-exposure prophylaxis.
It does. Mm. So it's really useful for people who think they might have an ongoing exposure to HIV from either regular sexual partners or casual sexual partners.
Good, you're a Catholic, aren't you?
No.
You are, because you say H. Oh, only Catholics say H. Everyone else says H.
And Dutch people, I think, as well.
Well, that's because the Dutch are all Catholics. Yeah. From the Dutch Reform.
I might just interject and ask a few questions about ASHAM. Yeah. What was it like?
It was all right. Yeah. I had a good time. I think, look.
You gave a paper on PrEP, I believe.
Yeah, I had a little yarn about PrEP at ASHAM together with some of my friends, Edwina Wright and Julian Elliott. And I guess we mainly, because again, we're a lot of demonstration projects being presented at ASHAM. So we've seen a few of these now. And I was asked to talk about what we've actually done with PrEP in our clinic. So we have been, we did introduce a PrEP protocol for people who need PrEP. And I guess I was just asked to talk about some reflections on how that's been going. And how we found it, and how our patients have found it so far. And
is the experience in Victoria the same as it's been all over the world, which is there are just no infections from people who adhere to PrEP?
Yes. So we haven't had any.
So it's an effective form of treatment as prevention.
It's a very effective form of treatment. So just to recap for those who might not have listened to your earlier broadcast, but basically in PrEP, people who think they may be at risk of HIV take a medication called Truvada on a daily basis. There are some other forms of PrEP where people use it on demand, but most of the evidence is behind daily use of PrEP. And that very effectively lowers the risk of HIV transmission. So it depends on which study you read. If you look at IPREX, looking at 92% risk reduction, some people would argue that it's even higher, so that if people take it every day and don't miss any doses, it's probably closer to 100%. So that's PrEP. Works very well. It is safe. There are some things that need to be monitored. So we know that there's possible risks.
So liver function needs to be monitored.
Yeah, particularly kidney function is an issue, or can be an issue. At least that's what we fear. But the good news is that globally in all the PrEP demonstration projects, there hasn't been one case of serious kidney damage in a person who's taken Truvada as PrEP. But it is something that we need to monitor for. So when people start PrEP, we check their kidney function before they start, and then do that again on an ongoing basis every 3 months.
Well, now we've got on the line at the moment our regular expert Clovis, our co-host for HIV Things. Hi there, Clovis.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
Good. How are you? Did you listen to that guffaw that Vincent was talking about then?
Yes, I heard.
And of course, as a good professional, you agree with every word he said. Is that right?
Yes, I agree with every word, except that I think he pointed out, which he correctly said, that there hasn't been any issues regarding kidney problems in subjects who have been taking the PrEP in the demonstration projects. But we have to bear in mind also that these persons have been taking it for a very short period of time, and the effect of Truvada or tenofovir is actually seen a few years after you start to take these medications. So if you're going to look at this as a long-term fix, where people starting it would be using it for a longer term, for a few years, that's when the main problem might arise.
Clovis, how long is the longest longitudinal study?
Pardon me, I didn't get that.
So how long is the longest longitudinal study? That's quite a difficult question.
Lots of longs there.
Well, I mean,
there haven't been, yeah.
It refers, doesn't it, Clovis, to, sorry, it refers to people who are on using Truvada as part of a treatments program. Has there been very much adverse effect from kidney problems in regular users?
Yes, so with people infected with HIV, it's a well-established indication that persons taking Truvada or persons with taking tenofovir, they have increased risk of kidney disease, and they also have reduced bone mineral density as well. So that's one of the reasons why people are trying to push the new formulation, TAF, which has been shown to be a bit better in terms of the profile for the kidney. And another thing to bear in mind as well is that some of the effects with tenofovir in people living with HIV could also be caused from the inflammation as well. So it could be the tenofovir plus the inflammation in these patients. However, for people uninfected with HIV, they won't be exposed to the inflammatory side or aspect of this. So it's possible that the tenofovir may not have that of a big effect in HIV-negative individuals.
You
know, it's still a cause for concerns.
If you're going to keep on talking about information like this, Clovis, it's time that you actually publish something about probiotics and which one we should take. You always skip around it, and we know we're not allowed to advertise, but we know what the best form of yogurt with the probiotic is. So it's time that you publish it so that we can say it.
Publish or perish.
We need the money, Jim.
I know what it is.
We need the money to conduct the research, but there are quite a substantial amount of data out there showing evidence of the significance or importance of probiotics in suppressing inflammation. And there was a recent clinical trial that actually confirmed this as well.
Now, we want you to stay on the line because we're going to go into some messages in a minute and a song. And so we'll come back and we'll talk more about this with both you and Vincent.
Sure.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
Hi there, Joysters. This is Jim, and you're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, as you just heard. And if you want to join in this conversation, you can by SMSing us on 0427 Joy 949, or phoning Robbie, who's on the front desk. Hello, Robbie. He's just sitting out there drinking coffee. So he would love you to talk to him on 1300 Joy 949. He's waving.
He says it's coffee.
And or you can email us straight into the studio on onair@joy.org.au, and we will pick up your message. Like, we've just picked up a message to tell us that that Claire from Essendon North has become a member.
I wonder who that is.
Good on you, Claire of Essendon North. Is that you, Claire?
Might be.
Oh, good. Well, you've just become a member. You must have paid your membership out the front, did you?
Yeah, I'm just renewed.
So you should have. Since you are a presenter,
just
you
just renewed it. That's all.
Very good. Well, anyway, welcome.
Miss a trick,
welcome back. And we'd love you to. We'd love you to give us a message and join in this conversation. But now we're going to have a community safety announcement from Dr. Vincent.
Thanks, Jim.
Pep us up.
This is just a quick message about Pep. This is nothing new. This is not from the ASHM conference. This is just the old Pep. And I think it's really important because with all this talk about PrEP, we're all getting very excited.
And everybody mixes up what is PEP, what is PrEP.
Exactly.
Is it the same thing?
It's a different thing. And, you know, I'm sure you've all heard this bandied about, but PrEP is like the oral contraceptive pill, so you take it all the time, so you know, to give you some protection. PEP is like the morning after pill. Nothing new about PEP. It's been around for ages, but I think it's just important that people remember that it's there. It's there to be used. If you think you've been at risk of HIV, come and talk to one of our friendly doctors, or if it's after hours, go to the emergency department and get yourself sorted out.
Do yourself a favour.
Do yourself a favour.
All of that.
How do you reckon Australia rates as a PrEP and PEP treatment hub at the moment compared with other Western countries?
I think we do all right from a PEP point of view. I think we've still got a long way to go from a PrEP point of view. I mean, obviously, the Therapeutic Goods Administration is currently considering the approval of PrEP. So currently using PrEP is not approved in Australia. It's not an approved use of
Truvada. It's not illegal, though.
No, it's not illegal. It's just not an approved use of Truvada. And fortunately, in Australia, you are entitled to import up to 3 months of medications for personal use.
And does that put some people off? Like, they just don't know how to get it? Is that a big thing?
I think some people don't know how to get it. I think it's also an impediment to doctors saying that they're offering it, because they might be worried that it has some sort of legal ramification.
But we do know that a few of the inner city high caseload clinics offer to facilitate PrEP.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I think if you think you need PrEP, or if you think you'd benefit from PrEP, I think it's wise to go and talk to one of your gay medical centres around the place, and I'm sure you all know which ones they are.
Mm. Is there any idea how long the TGA will take to perhaps consider and approve such medication?
The average sort of duration of TGA approval takes about 12 months, and they started looking at it about 4 months ago now. So
it used to take a lot longer, let me tell you, before we started throwing our weight around and becoming sort of act up like in the old days.
Yeah. I think they've sped things up a little bit.
They have. It used to be 2.5 years in those days.
So maybe in about 8 months or so, although there's increasing pressure on them to try and speed this up.
That's good, because there are new risks emerging out there, Vincent, like things like Hep C and concurrent HIV positive status, which is, you know, a bit of a problem at the moment, I understand.
Yeah, I think it's probably a kind of, I don't know whether it's a new phenomenon, but it's something we're becoming aware of, that people living with HIV might be at risk of getting Hep C sexually, through a sexual transmission.
Because we've always thought that Hep C wasn't sexually transmitted up until
Yeah, exactly. We always used to think that Hep C was mainly through needle sharing when injecting drugs. Or, you know, tattoos or piercings and that sort of thing. So direct blood-to-blood contact. But it looks like in people living with HIV that it may also be sexually transmitted. And fortunately, at the ASHM conference, again, there were some really interesting presentations on hepatitis C treatment. So there's certainly a lot of progress being made there.
But it's not a reason to not take PrEP, is it? Because PrEP is about preventing HIV. It's not about preventing hep C.
Yeah, exactly. So PrEP only protects against HIV. And, you know, one of the arguments that's being used against PrEP by some people is that it's going to cause a rise in other STIs, so syphilis, gonorrhea, and hepatitis C. And, look, it might well do, but...
Do you know, back in the early 90s when we started putting out sex-positive messages for gay men, we were told exactly the same. Oh, if you tell people that they're allowed to have sex, even if they're wearing a condom, you'll see an increase in the rise of HIV. I've heard these arguments before. I'm not interested in them,
Jim, we heard these arguments in the 1950s when they brought out the oral contraceptive pill. You know, it would turn all women into sluts. And you know, I think it's good for people to have sex.
Did
if
it?
People want to have sex, well, maybe women did have more sex after the pill came out, but that, you know, wasn't... It's still here. And I think the same goes for PrEP. I think, you know, PrEP can be a tool for some people to have a better sex life than they do now. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It might result in more STIs, but then we need to sort those STIs out.
It might result in better mental health.
Yeah, exactly. Better mental health.
It is Mental Health Month.
And
next,
better relationships.
Next month.
Mm. So I don't think that's a good argument against PrEP.
No, I'm glad you say that, because I'm very strongly of the view that if we're talking about HIV prevention, we're talking about HIV prevention. We're not talking about STI prevention. If we want an STI prevention campaign, let's have one.
Yeah. And I think we should have one.
And it's different.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, is Clovis still on the line?
Clovis, are you there still?
Yes, I am.
Are you vehemently disagreeing with us or not?
No, I completely agree with you. The PrEP should be seen as an HIV prevention tool and not necessarily as an STI prevention tool. I mean, if we have the facilities to enable people to go in to do more tests to get treated for these STIs, then the prevalence of these will be decreased in the society anyway, in the community. So I think one of the benefits of PrEP actually is that it sort of engages more people in the health facilities and the healthcare system so that they can go and get their HIV tests done, get their STI checkups and treatment where possible. So I think that's actually a benefit for PrEP.
And we do now have a policy base for that in Victoria, because the Victorian government has just released its public health and wellbeing plan for the next 4 years, and HIV prevention and sexual health are on there as a new addition to that plan, as a new area. So there's actually a policy imperative to have good sexual health policy and programs. And so hopefully we might expect to see from the Victorian Department of Health and Human Services a bit of a push towards good sexual health and STI prevention in particular.
I think one of the problems with our current situation around PrEP is that because PrEP is not TGA approved, there will be people getting PrEP without any involvement in a medical service. So people will be buying PrEP themselves online without ever seeing a doctor, without getting regular
But we STI would checks. Encourage them to go to a doctor and get a prescription before they go online, so they can go online with the prescription.
Exactly, and I think that's really important.
And that would protect them anyway against any unforeseen legal issues.
Yeah, and I think it just means if they can engage with a service provider, a doctor who can provide them with the script for PrEP and who can provide them with sexual health screening, regular syphilis tests, hep C tests.
And good information.
Good information.
They should be better off.
Exactly. I think.
Hear that, listeners? We want you to go to your doctor, particularly your gay doctor. We want you to ask them if you are HIV negative and you think you're at risk or you want to become a bit more sexually adventurous. And ask them about PrEP. Find out everything you can about PrEP. If you go online to the Victorian AIDS Council website or the Living Positive Victoria website, you'll find ways of finding out about these things. So do that. And we'll go on with this discussion after we've had some more messages. And so you're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hi there, Joysters. You are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. It's now 10:30 on the dot, and we have been talking all things HIV, particularly PrEP and PEP, with Dr. Vincent Cornelise, who's still here in the studio, aren't you, Vincent?
Hi, Richard.
He's smiling sweetly across the desk. And we've been talking to Clovis Palmer from the Burnett Institute, and you're still on the line, aren't you, Clovis?
Yes, I am.
Is there anything else you want to add to what we've been talking about tonight? Any big take-home message that you've got for everybody, other than to tell us what is the new job that you're starting tomorrow morning?
Oh, do you want the news? I'll give you the news afterwards. But my take on PrEP is that it's there. It has been shown to be effective. If you take it as prescribed, you almost certainly won't be, you know, get infected with HIV. But it's just a, you know, heads up that, you know, it possibly has you know, long-term side effects, and it's just something to consider. And there have been some studies that recently started evaluating whether or not taking vitamin D along with calcium could potentially limit any you know, negative effect that PrEP might have. But I think, as Vincent said, this is something that you're going to, you know, follow up with your doctor. You're going to do the necessary baseline tests and continue tests. And if it so happens that you have, you know, your kidney isn't working or functioning as, you know, properly as it should be, then you just simply stop it. So I think it's something that should be available for the public to make their decision as to whether or not they want to take it. So therefore, I think it should be available and people should take it. You think it will assist them to...
Good. Thank you very much, Clovis. Now, tell us... Come on, I'm going to prod you now one more time. What is the new job?
Okay, so the big news is that I have been now officially appointed the head of the Immunometabolic Laboratory at the Burnett Institute. So here we are looking to study the effect of HIV on aging, and we are also looking at new ways to remove the HIV reservoir from infected patients.
Well, we expect to get lots of scoops out of you from now on. You understand that, don't you? You've got a month to come up with a scoop.
I'll definitely keep you guys up to date. We are just finishing or in the middle of an exciting frailty project that we are now analyzing some of the data, and we're really seeing some interesting new information. So
good. Keep listening, because the last Monday of the month is our regular HIV night, and next month Clovis will no doubt come on with something very, very interesting to talk about. So we're going to let you go to bed now so that you can get up bright and early and be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed ready for your big start tomorrow morning, because you no doubt have to boss around a whole lot of lab assistants.
Congratulations, Clovis.
Yes, I'm falling asleep a little bit now, but it was nice talking to you guys, and great discussion, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Clovis. Congratulations.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question about that's a bit sort of, people get very upset when I ask this question usually, but you're not going to because you're so cool, calm and collected. But, you know, if you are one of the groups of people that should be considering PrEP are those people whose regular sexual partners are HIV positive. Now, if the regular sexual partner is HIV positive and has got a long-term undetectable viral load, is it necessary for both the positive person and the negative person to be both taking the same drugs or not?
No. So the Australian guidelines...
You've just got to be good. You've got to be adherent if you're the positive
exactly.
person.
Yeah, exactly. So the Australian guidelines are fairly clear on this. Because the risk of transmission from someone with an undetectable viral load...
Is next to zero.
Exactly. We never say zero in medicine, but it's really low. So because it's so low, it's considered that for the negative person to take PrEP, the risks of side effects from the PrEP probably outweigh the benefit they get in terms of HIV protection because their risk is already so low. The exception to that is if they are not in a monogamous marriage-like relationship, whatever that means. So if they have other sexual partners, then obviously the negative partner may want to start PrEP to give some level of protection with the other sexual partners. Obviously, the other exception is that if in this partnership, if the positive partner doesn't always have an undetectable viral load, and if the positive partner gets other sexually transmitted infections, which may affect their viral load.
Well, that sort of overlaps with that last bit of discussion.
So in that situation, it is also recommended that the negative partner consider PrEP. I hope that answers that.
It does answer that. And in fact, my experience in the old days was that when people were long-term undetectable, that I knew doctors that used to say, don't even bother with PEP.
Yeah, but again, it all comes down to
it was about not having unprotected sex.
It's also about trust and knowing someone well enough to be able to say, yes, this person is living with HIV, they're on treatment and they're undetectable, and I know them well enough to know that they're undetectable and I know that they're taking their medications, which is a very different scenario.
So this is all about communication.
It's all about communication, and it's obviously a very different scenario from if you're meeting someone somewhere out, wherever you meet people, and they say, I'm undetectable, and you don't really know that person. And in that situation, it's recommended that you sort of grab your own responsibility with both hands and say, okay, well, I'm going to provide myself with that level of protection.
It takes two people to get infected, for one person to get infected, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I think the good thing about PrEP is that everyone has responsibility for their own health, and PrEP allows people to take that responsibility. And I think, and, you know, I don't know, yeah, I think it's fair to say that it also means that it might take some pressure off people living with HIV, where it's no longer, because sometimes we're pointing fingers and saying, you know, it's that person's responsibility to make sure that they don't pass HIV on to someone else.
Well, most people with HIV don't want to pass HIV on.
No, of course they don't.
So if you can make the system easier for people to act in a way that's going to come out with better health benefits,
yeah,
then you should make the system easier. That means making PrEP available. So,
and we know that it works and we know that it's safe as long as you take it properly and you monitor properly. So
the big message, everybody, is find out about PrEP if you think you need it. Monitor, communicate, and be adherent to the directions of your doctor in terms of the taking.
Yeah,
of
engage with a health professional who knows what's going on with PrEP.
And maintain a good testing regime for your sexual health.
And I think that goes for everyone. That goes for people not on PrEP as well. Go get tested.
Okay. Well, thank you, Vincent, for coming in and putting up with us tonight.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks,
and
Claire. Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are on Joy 94.9 and it's 46 minutes past 10. That means it's 14 minutes to 11, people. And it is, funnily enough, outside at the moment 13 degrees, which has been our top temperature for the past month. And here it is 13 degrees in the middle of the night. How fantastic. It's going to be even warmer tomorrow. And the weekend's going to get up to 28 or 30, I believe.
Balmy.
So in the studio now, as we threatened before, we've got Ian Muchmore, who is the president of Living Positive Victoria, LVP, which I'm not allowed to say, am I?
Living Positive Victoria. Good evening, Professor Jim.
How are you?
I'm very good this evening.
And we've got you in here to talk about various things that are happening down at Living Positive at the moment. One of the things, actually, is one of the big things that you're doing at the moment community-wise is a Hep C project, I believe, which sort of follows on from our discussions we've been having with Vincent earlier
tonight. I thought that was worth mentioning. There's been a community-wide project with several agencies, with Living Positive Victoria, with the Victorian AIDS Council, and with Hepatitis Victoria for a year or so now. And two pieces of information I just sort of throw up for people. One is that there is a website called hepcawareub2.info, and that is a great website for people to find out about co-infection and how to prevent through harm reduction becoming co-infected if you're living with HIV, also with hepatitis C. And We could put
that on our Facebook page if we were really organised.
That would be great. And there was that's been up for a while, and that's gradually updated, and there's been a bunch of community forums. But one of the resources that came out, I think it was last month, was a 45-minute radio podcast produced with Joy 94.9.
So you can go to joy.org.au and find that podcast.
Now, the podcast is called Getting Sexy About Hep C. There's a lot of this in this particular project, as you can see.
Oh, it's a full of puns. It's fun with puns.
Fun with puns, yes. Yeah, we're having lots of fun. That is available. That came out on the 24th of August, and that's listed on the Living Positive website and also on our SoundCloud. I didn't even know that we had it on our SoundCloud.
So it's on SoundCloud, and it will be on our iTunes.
Yep.
So
perhaps you could post those up on the Facebook page.
We could do that.
That would be great. So I just wanted to mention that. And what I really wanted to come on air and talk about was community. And you just played those community announcements. And community for living positive is absolutely critical. We've acknowledged the wide community that supports people living with HIV and those affected with HIV for many years. Last year, we reshaped a little bit what we did. You know, many other people have these, big community events, often fundraisers, some type of awards.
Yes, and the Brownlows are on tonight.
And so we sort of rejigged and reshaped ours and got them down to just six different awards, and we're calling them Positive Community Awards, although I'm waiting for someone to come up with, if that's what the Academy Award is, are we going to call them an Oscar? Are we going to call them a POS Award? What are we going to call them? But you don't have to be a positive person to receive the award, and you've received an award, and we'll talk about that in a moment.
I have.
Is that what that
Do you want to tell? Do you want to tell us about your award and what it actually says?
I do have a thing on the desk here. It's a glass obelisk with one corner chipped off it, unfortunately, because I'm so bad when I pack. It says on the front of it, "People Living with HIV AIDS Victoria 2008 President's Award," and then my name on the bottom of it. And I was awarded that in 2008, obviously, since it's set the date that's on there.
Okay.
Services to the positive community.
And congratulations, you have been a tremendous resource and continue to be a voice that is heard and often listened to in the
sometimes
sector. Sometimes listened to. A point I want to make from that is that, we've been putting a lot of thought at a board level and an organisation.
You mean this is going to be really unique, this President's Award?
It is, because at the moment we don't have a President's Award anymore. We actually thought about this last year, and I felt a bit uncomfortable, I have to say, in saying, well, I've got the control over who gets a particular award. That wasn't the sort of organisation that I felt sort of quite comfortable in. So what we now have is a Community Champion Award, and that can go to an organisation or an individual. And who that went to last year was to Joy 94.9 for all the work that they did around the World AIDS Conference. There are six different awards. You need to be a member of the organisation to nominate for the award. That's one of the things we're doing this year.
To nominate someone else for the award.
Yes.
Can you nominate yourself for the award?
No, you can't. If you are a board director or a member of staff, same sort of theme here, is you're not eligible for these particular awards. We have other ways in which we acknowledge the good work that those volunteers do. If you're a volunteer outside the staff, absolutely, there is a specific volunteer award.
But you don't actually have to be positive to belong to Living Positive Victoria.
No, you
do
don't.
You?
No, you don't. So this is a good reason to become a member, just as it's a good reason to be a member of Joy 94.9, like we all are. You can
even Claire tonight, since she's just renewed.
Yeah. I'm just trying to lock into your whole theme the whole time.
Vincent, are you a member of Joy?
Of course, 94. He's a member. Just shake your head. If you're
he's on the other side.
He's been a member for many years.
He's on the other side of the studio with no microphone. Now we've got him tucked away, haven't we?
One of the things I was hearing, from tonight is that actually the HIV response is changing, and it doesn't really matter if you're positive or you're negative. You can actually make a difference to the HIV epidemic and to living with HIV. So that might be through taking PrEP, or it might be through getting tested or
reducing
stigma is fundamental to all of that. PrEP is not going to happen unless we deal with the stigma around HIV.
Or just throwing drag.
You don't have to be positive to be a member, a person living with HIV to be a member of Living Positive Victoria. People who do declare their status and are positive can vote for directors like me, or, so they can vote for me or for someone else. And we have a democratic process coming around in the end of November around that.
When is your AGM?
It's the last week of November. The final date's still to be set. But in that final week as well, in that at that AGM, we will make the announcement as to who's won these awards. So you've got 2 weeks to make your nomination. If you're not a member at the present time, go to the Living Positive Victoria website. You can sign up as a full member or as an associate member. So everybody who's in Victoria can be a member of the organisation. And membership is really important to us, and we need to find ways to acknowledge the involvement of those members. So that's what these awards are about. There are 6 nomination categories at the present time. Some of those are individual or around programs. There's one around volunteers, one around the Positive Speakers Bureau. There's one around health and well-being, one around advocacy, which absolutely, you know, the sort of work that Vincent's been doing, we would fit both under health and well-being and also under advocacy. There's a
he's blushing.
Yeah, well,
he's envying.
Listen, guys like Clovis, like Vincent. There are many other people here who have not been acknowledged yet in a formal way, and it's really important that the community gives back and acknowledges the great work that these people do. So we want to open this process up a bit this year. We haven't done that in the past. If you've got someone that you want to put forward, you can go to the website. We'd ask you for a few words about why that's important, and we will look at that in a couple of weeks' time, and the decisions will be announced at the AGM at the end of November.
Well, that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
We better have somebody back on from Living Positive Victoria to talk to us about those awards. Perhaps you can organise some award winners for us. But the other thing I would really like to talk about sometime is the Positive Speakers Bureau, because we did do a program on it very early 2 years ago when we first started. We've almost been on two. I'm just going to give you a warning, listeners. We have been on air for 2 years on the 5th of October, and we'll be having a special show that night. We'll be getting two of our former presenters, Kurt and Pat, back into the studio to talk to us about what they've done since then and what we've done over the years in their view. And we then will start looking at some of those things like what's going on down at Living Positive with the good work that's been done there.
We can't wait to come back on, and there's plenty more to talk about.
Of course you can't. So thank you, everybody. So we've had a pretty full show tonight, and thank you, Claire.
Thank you very much, Jim.
And thank you, Vincent, for coming in. Thank you, Ian, for coming in. And thank you, everybody, for listening to us rabbiting on about HIV yet again, and you've only got to wait for another month for another HIV show, where Clovis will be back to tell us of all the scoops out of the laboratory, which he's now heading up.
I'd just like to say, Jim, it's been nearly 2 years. It's been a pleasure hearing you be passionate on air. So it'll be a lot of fun celebrating it.
It will. I'm looking forward to the 5th of October as well, and we've got some other great shows lined up over the next month or so. We've got a show on human rights, another show on human rights, but we do like to plug some particular things.
And hopefully some more environmental stuff too.
And we've got a show coming up on the arts, which we haven't done for a while. So be listening for those over the next month, and then you'll be hearing our big birthday show.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.